This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype episode 24. As usual, Marima, Josh, Kyle, and I here this week. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
And we got a wide array of news this week. We got movie news. We got TV news. And we even carved out a book segment because there's some interesting book news to talk about this week, including the true comments from J.K. Rowling. From her interview with Emma Watson. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. But first, as we normally do, we will talk about movies. The Divergent cast and author are going on what is basically like a promotional tour to host early screenings of the film. And I'm happy to report, I haven't told you guys this yet, that Danielle's going to be going to the Chicago one, and she's really excited about it because she's never done anything like this before. I was like, "Are you comfortable doing interviews?" She's like, "Well, I've never done one, but I'd be happy to try." So we're going to coach her into doing that, get her prepared. But anyway, they're going to be showing the movie March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 6th in select cities across the country. This is pretty ambitious, isn't it? I mean, to show the movie to so many fans so early. The movie comes out March 21.
Yeah. Is it time to worry?
No. Well, I think it's a good thing. I guess it's a good sign, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good thing, if anything.
Because fans will go, they'll see the movie, and then they'll be like, oh, it was awesome. Let me go tweet and Facebook about it nonstop about how I saw it early.
And, well, as long as it's good. Otherwise, no one will go after the 6th of March.
we'll get to learn whether or not it's going to suck or it's going to be awesome.
But here's the thing. These are the most hardcore fans that want to go to this type of thing, right? So it's like, they're not going to really criticize it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going to be like, it was awesome.
I don't know. Sometimes they're the harshest, though. You know what I mean?
True.
Because they want it to be
strict to
the book.
Most extreme. It's either like, I loved it or it was terrible.
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, the people who saw, no offense to Vampire Academy, but the people who saw Vampire Academy, they were like, oh my god, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But to everybody else, it's not. Excuse me. Okay, so that's all really that had to be said there. But speaking of Divergent, we have the director. He has been named for Insurgent, Robert Schwintek. He directed Red, Ripped, and The Time Traveler's Wife. So this isn't, Josh, I mean, this isn't really like a well-known director, right?
Not really, no.
But I think one of these films is a Summit film, so maybe that's where the connection comes in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is this good news? Is this like meh news?
I think it's interesting. A lot of times they'll find a different director for the next film, and like we saw with Catching Fire, it was a great move. So hopefully it's good news.
Yeah, the thing about this though is that like he's not on the same caliber as like a Francis Lawrence or, I mean, in fairness, I didn't really know Neil Berger either. So before Divergent.
Yeah, and I didn't either. So I don't want to judge it before it happens, but. He's done a few okay movies.
Yeah.
Ripped was terrible. Red was decent. The Time Traveler's Wife was popular. So he's done okay movies.
Was The Time Traveler's Wife adapted from a book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, see? That's why they picked him.
Yeah.
And it was a very actually. Good movie.
Yeah, I mean, it had Rachel.
McAdams.
McAdams, yeah. She was in it. And the other guy who played the Hulk. Oh, I can't think. Sorry.
It's okay. It's early. Yeah. It's supposed to hit theaters March 2015, and Summit. It like we've said before, it's kind of unusual for a studio to move ahead with a sequel before the first one is even out. But they're doing it, and it shows that they're confident in the film, and they're... I think they're also just trying to prove to people that they have a potentially big hit on their hands. So, with Divergent. So, we'll see what happens there.
What other studio has done this with... We were making fun of it last time.
Mortal Instruments?
Yes. Oh,
Mortal Instruments, yeah.
Yeah. Because that worked out well.
Right, that one backfired. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to cancel the sequel because the first one didn't do well. So.
And they were like all for, they were like, we're doing this. And then, no.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a studio, that was a big studio, by the way. That was Sony.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that really flopped. Hopefully, this one won't fall apart. Again, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I brought this up. Like, the three Divergent books sit at the top of the USA Today bestseller list week after week. There is a lot of anticipation, and there is a big audience here, so.
Yep. I feel like this one's different. And Shailene Woodley's really good, so I think she'll be the next J-Law.
Right. She's also writing that Fault in Our Stars High, so like all the John Green readers will go see it.
Exactly.
I think it's a shoo-in. They've definitely got one more film coming. Little Marvel news. The trailer for this new movie that nobody knows about yet, everybody already loves, Guardians of the Galaxy, has been released. This stars Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, Zoe Saldana, Karen Gillan, and trailer...
As I said, the girl from Doctor Who.
Right. The trailer came out yesterday, and it was great. Did everybody watch this?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yep. So, wait, was it just me, or was she not in the trailer? Because I was talking about the trailer with my friend.
She was for like, a split second.
Okay, because she's I barely bald. Saw her.
Yeah, she's bald and blue,
and
right?
And has, like, lots of makeup on. Yeah, lots of, like, prosthetics and stuff. You can barely even recognize her.
I was looking at stills, because my friend's like, oh, yeah, this is what she looks like. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, can't she have used a bald cap for that?
What I thought. Whenever I saw her at Comic-Con with her, you know, head shaved, I was like, why would she do that? And then I saw the trailer, I was like, why would she do that? I was like, she didn't need to do it.
Is it maybe, though, in this day and age with super high-res cameras and theaters that you got to do that?
I've seen some crazy bald caps before where you're like, oh, my God. Like, they have a lot of hair under there. Yeah. But maybe for girls, it's harder just because you have so much more hair.
Yeah. What does it matter if she wanted to shave her head? Like, well, let her shave her head.
It's just a big deal. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but it's her hair. She's the only one that needs to be okay with it. I bet it would be harder to hide it. Like,
you know, for sure. If you look at the pictures, you'll see how drastically different she looks. So I feel like they could have probably done the same look without her shaving her head.
Yeah, I guess I just mean like, I don't think they would have said to her, "Hey, shave your head, or you can't do the film." I'm sure it was a decision that she made.
I bet you they probably did say that.
I doubt it.
Marvel has like crazy contracts. Like Chris Pratt had a trainer follow him 24/7 and like make him eat food. I mean, they can only eat like certain foods.
Yeah,
no,
that's
I'm serious. It's totally like they're so strict about it. And I would not bet. I would not be surprised if it was in her contract that she had to shave her head.
Well, the big reveal came at Comic-Con last summer when she was wearing a wig and she looked like a normal self, and then she took it off and everybody like shrieked in Hall H. It was crazy.
I find it funny that her wig at Comic-Con was better than her wig on Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is like kind of gonna be like an alternate Avengers franchise, right? That's how it's probably gonna end up being, because it's a group of five superheroes.
I feel like this is the one Marvel movie that the majority of people just know nothing about. Like, I know, like, me and my friend were talking about it. We're like, we know nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I know it's probably huge among comic book fans. But if you're not a comic book fan in the least, then you're not gonna really know about this, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you don't really know about the Avengers unless you've watched all the other, you know, the solo films. So it's kind of the same thing. It's like you don't know what they are until it's out. But
the trailer made it look like a parody movie. It was just it was really weird.
Well, that's why I think everybody.
They've done even less to explain this than they did to explain any of the other Marvel movies, though. And it's fine. Like, I think it looks amazing. I have no idea what's going on, but I'll totally go and see it. So maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah. I mean, that's the appeal of it, right? It's just so wacky that you kind of have to see it. It's right. just so goofy. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think James Gunn, the director, had a lot to do with it. It's just he does this kind of wacky feel. Mm-hmm. And the actors are kind of different. Like Chris Pratt, he's like a different leading guy for this type of film, and which I think he'll be perfect for. And Zoe Saldana, she's great. So I think it had a real nice style to it. Whenever I first saw it, I was like, this looks different than what I've seen from Marvel before. And it's gotten kind of stale. You know, like I didn't like Iron Man 3. I didn't like Thor 2 that much. And so I was glad to see that they're just trying something different.
Yeah, this is very refreshing, isn't it?
I think, it's refreshing because I'm tired of the same, you know, stamped out movie.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little too wacky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, time will tell if the movie actually is wacky. That could just be the way they're setting the trailer up. Yeah. Certainly, we're seeing.
And they may have to do that with like Rocket Raccoon and Groot because they don't really know how else to
market them.
Yeah. They don't know like what do we do with this tree and this raccoon.
Yeah, I mean it is bizarre. We've never seen
bizarre and funny.
Have we ever seen a Marvel movie with animated with like an animated animal, a live action animated animal?
Not an animal. I mean, Hulk's animated.
Oh, right. Yeah, he doesn't really count, though.
He's just like a giant dude.
Yeah.
I hope it is this weird. It looks really funny.
I just hope it's really weird and works. I don't know why.
Yeah, I hope they go with
it. I just like
the
way it looked. It looks so great. It just looks so different. And the Avengers, like, it had some of this stuff where I felt like there was a lot, not futuristic stuff, but just out there. You know, from the S.H.I.E.L.D. perspective, but this was like way out there. They're clearly in another universe, what's cool is the future of this franchise meeting up with some of the other franchises in the Marvel universe, because who knows whenever they'll put them together. You know,
I want to see Chris Pratt like flip off Fury. That'd be hysterical.
Yeah, because they're all in the same. I mean, they're in different universes, literally, but they're all in the same storyline because they're actually all looking for the same things that will end up being used in the third Avengers film.
I'm looking at the comments, and a lot of people are just saying that, you know, it is really out there, but then yet they still love it. It's hard not to like the sense of humor in this trailer. But anyway, it's coming out August 1st. Which is 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after Comic-Con. So you can bet that this is going to be all over the place San Diego Comic-Con in mid-July. And that's the first trailer. So looking forward to seeing more. We're going to continue with today's news in just a moment. But first, it's time to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service. Today, we are going to recommend The Cuckoo's Calling because later today, we are going to discuss the sequel that was announced just last week. Of course, The Cuckoo's Calling is by J.K. Rowling. It is her second post-Potter novel, in my opinion, a step up, a big step up, above The Casual Vacancy. It is a crime novel. It's a whodunit. And, you know, even if crime novels and whodunits aren't your thing, it is J.K. Rowling's work, and the writing is just fantastic, like it is in The Casual Vacancy, like it is in the Harry Potter series. And if you're going to be looking for some summer reads, you'll probably want to pick up J.K. Rowling's The Silkworm this June when it is released. So, get started with The Cuckoo's Calling. You can get it for free. You'll be listening to it. It is such an interesting experience, especially a whodunit. You're kind of watching a television show, but you're just listening. It's very interesting. The Cuckoo's Calling by J.K. Rowling. Get it for free. audiblepodcast.com/hype. Again, audiblepodcast.com/hype to get an audiobook for absolutely free. We thank Audible for their support of the show. The Oscars are coming up a week from this Sunday. And Idina Menzel will perform Let It Go. Ah, yes. I was banking on this. Everybody eats up Frozen news, by the way. Have you noticed that? Like,
yeah.
Every Frozen article is super popular. Yeah. So she will be performing Let It Go. You two will be performing Ordinary Love from Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, which they wrote. And What's Her Name will be performing the Moon Song from Her. Whoever wrote that, I don't have it right here in front of me. Pharrell Williams, his Oscar nominated song Happy from Despicable Me 2 has not been announced yet for a live performance. So time will tell on that one. But right now we have three Oscar nominated songs being performed live at the Oscars, which is cool.
That's new, isn't it? We don't really don't have that many, do we?
I think last year they did. Like, I remember Skyfall. Was that last year?
Oh, yeah. Skyfall was last year.
I want to say, Adele. It didn't. Nothing else mattered because obviously Skyfall
was
going to win.
Maybe that's why I don't remember.
Right. They probably didn't even bother getting the others to sing.
I just remember last year's was very musical-y. Like, remember those musical tributes? And...
Well, last year's theme was musicals, I think, for the Oscars. So, yeah. And this year's theme is what? What is it?
Superheroes, I think, or something like that. And so it'll be cool to see her, Idina Menzel, perform Let It Go. Obviously, that song's been insanely popular. And you know what I was talking about with my friend the other day? Do you guys even know that Demi Lovato recorded a single version of Let It Go?
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's funny. I think that Disney had Demi record Let It Go, and they released it on the soundtrack. I think they had to record it because they had no clue how Frozen was going to blow up. Because it ended up being Idina's version in the movie that blew up, not this single version by Demi Lovato. I just thought it was funny because, Demi's has been totally swept under the rug.
That's got to be.
They always do weird cover versions of them for their albums, though. There's always like these random. Yeah, I feel like they do. And and they're always like these really auto-tuned, horrible things that you're like, why would you try and destroy this song in this way?
Right. It's not
just trying to throw like as much, you know, big net out there and just try to grab whichever one.
They just played over the credits and then they can put it on the album and hope that they get more money from the single release.
Right. That's the Demi version like is just begging to be put on the radio, but it's not good compared to the original. So I'm glad
it's Skyfall now, so it doesn't matter.
I'm glad the movie version was the one that took off. So I never watched this, I have to confess, which will upset some people, but I Dr. Horrible sing along blog. I never watched the original. Did you guys?
It's good. Yeah, I really like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean people love it. It's got Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fillion, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Felicia Day. I guess it's just those three who are the lead three.
Yeah.
And now, in a statement to Entertainment Weekly, Jed Whedon, the brother of Joss Whedon, says that Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog 2 will exist in some format or another at some point in the future. So, he didn't
really
exactly...
Really specific. Yeah.
So, we don't know much about it, but it does appear to be in the works. Or at least they're planning on doing it whenever Joss has free time after, because he's filming Avengers right now. So, I mean, is it something that begs for a sequel or?
No, I mean, it stands really good enough on its own. And I feel like I'm satisfied without a sequel, but like a sequel would be awesome. But that's just how I feel about it. I don't know how many people are like, oh my goodness, a sequel has to happen. But for me, that's not the case.
How long's the original? Like, roughly?
It's like an hour? Hour and a half, maybe?
Really? 45 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
It's three acts, and they're all about 15, I want to say.
Oh, okay. I was imagining some, like, 10-minute goofy random thing. Never mind.
It's like a 45-minute goofy random thing.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
And in other revival sequel news, Pushing Daisies. It was a busy weekend, by the way, this Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
yeah.
News like this. Pushing Daisies, a revival, is apparently in the works. That's if you believe the show creator, Brian Fuller, who said he's hoping to bring the cast back for a project or two. Fuller said, I've had conversations very recently with Barry Sonnenfeld about financing a film and with Kristen Chenoweth and Warner Brothers about developing a stage musical. So this lasted, what, two seasons? Why did everybody love this show?
Because it was amazing.
Was so unique. It was like it was the so most good. Unique show on television. It was amazing.
You need to watch it.
And it's fantastic.
It was two seasons?
Yes.
Because of the writer's strike.
First season was set for 22 episodes, but the writer's strike set it down to 9, in which Brian Fuller then edited the last one that they filmed to make it look like a cliffhanger. And then they did season 2 instead of working on the rest of the season 1 after the strike. And ABC said that the ratings weren't good enough, and they canceled it.
I feel like they're doing it just because Lee Pace is in a lot of movies now.
Yeah, maybe.
Brian Fuller has talked before that he really loved that cast and he would like to do something with them again. And he's always trying to get people that he's worked with on his new shows. So I think he's a showrunner that is actually like super in touch with his fandom.
Fans, yeah, so, clearly.
Yeah, so he's been talking about this popular. Before, like, yeah, before everyone got really famous, he was still like, guys, let's do Pushing Daisies too. Like, let's do that again. So this will be so good.
He said it when it ended and when it got canceled, he said he was hoping to like finish it in some sort of movie, hopefully. And then so now this musical news is like really the new part of everything. And it's really exciting. But what's interesting to me, I noticed that every single freaking show that Kristen Chenoweth is in ends up getting canceled. She's like cursed.
Well, then maybe she shouldn't be in this one.
Yeah, kick her out. I like Anna Friel, is that how you say it? She's a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
She's just so good. But, yeah. Brian Fuller is pretty busy with Hannibal, so I'm not sure what the timeline on this is going to be.
All I know about the show is that Jim Dale narrates, right?
True.
Yes.
That was my one...
I remember when this was coming out. I remember the promos for this for some reason.
It looks quite...
They must have had a good, advertising campaign.
Yeah, I mean, the cinematography of the show is fantastic.
Yeah, so beautiful.
It's like it was made for Broadway, practically. With how
it's got Kristen Chenoweth in it, so yeah. Basically, yes.
So let's talk some other TV news. Kyle went to a Once Upon a Time event in L.A., last week, and you got to see the spring premiere early. So how'd that go?
It was great. It was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. Pamela ended up being there, one of our writers. She was covering for Entertainment Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really great because when I've gone to this thing before, I've seen writers going like, oh, hey, how you doing? And I had no idea who anyone was. And so it was my opportunity to be like, oh, hey, how you doing? What's up?
So,
no,
yes.
But the episode was really great. And even the PR lady for the show ships Captain Hook and Emma, which is hysterical. It was the best.
Did you ask her that question?
No, she like after the thing ended, she was just like, oh, I shit them so hard.
so you wrote up an article on Hypeable about a few teases from the episode. They're spoiler free. And you can check them out on the site, and you'll have them. When's you have a more detailed report coming out?
Yeah, when? I have a more detailed report coming out, not next week, but the week after that. So the week that the show comes back.
Okay, cool. In some Netflix news, which I
speaking of spoilers,
I always struggle to categorize Netflix shows as TV because they kind of don't feel like TV. They feel like something else. But anyway, House of Cards premiered over the weekend, Valentine's Day weekend. Marima, Josh, and I have all finished all 13 episodes.
We since have a
problem. You guys go self-control.
Since last Friday.
We're also heroin addicts.
How long did it take each of you guys to finish, in the number of days?
2 days.
I watched it in God two nights. Yeah. I didn't watch anything until, Tuesday. I watched it Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Okay. I started Saturday. I don't think I started Friday. I started Saturday. and I just finished last night, so I'm not as big of a loser like you two are. But anyway, yeah, it was a great season. I still highly recommend it. The first episode has probably the biggest surprise of the season, no doubt. Yeah. and then there's like another big surprise in episode 11. And do you guys think that, like, I've seen people say that there's a lot of nothing in the middle. Would you agree with that assessment? Oh, yeah.
I thought there was a ton of nothing.
Was it boring to you, though?
I didn't want to say boring. When I was writing up my review of that first episode, mm-hmm. I had already seen like 6 or 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I kind of mentioned, like, I think because it started off so crazy, I was expecting a lot more. And so it kind of dropped. And I don't think it was boring. It was just that since my expectations were like through the roof after I saw the first episode, that I kind of went through like a 4, 5, 6 episode lull. And I don't know if that was because the show was boring or if it was just because the way I saw the first episode.
Well, I've seen
didn't find it boring.
No.
Yeah, I'm not finding it boring either.
I mean, when you think about it, if you think about the first season, even though we're all totally obsessed with it, not a whole lot happens in all those episodes. There isn't like this huge plot arc. It's very gradual. And I felt like it was similar pacing in this. So it was sort of what I was expecting in that regard.
Yeah, and I can't explain why I feel this way without spoiling some of the plot details of this one, so I won't. But there are reasons why I think this one feels a little emptier than the first one. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Some people have said this season's a little more political than the first season. I mean,
it's freaking House of Cards.
Yeah, well, but a little too, like,
more like
insider.
Specific. Yeah, yeah, like, right. It's so specific about, like, certain bills and stuff, which I actually know a lot about. I pay attention to, I actually watch C-SPAN and stuff. So when I made a joke about it in my article, it's because I actually do keep up with this stuff. I just had to jump back sometimes and be like, what the hell are they talking about? I would have to go back and just make sure I knew which bill they were trying to get passed.
This is one show where you can't, like, kind of veer away from the television, like, for a moment.
I can't write articles and watch it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I just miss whatever they're working on. And then you start getting lost and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. No,
it's great.
I think you're right.
You know what's good is that it's still really good. And it's the second season of a Netflix show. You know,
right,
and like you said,
news.
We don't know where this is going, but so far it looks like it's going great.
I like the second season more than the first season.
I think I do too. Yeah.
I think I still like the first season, but that may be some nostalgia.
I'm liking the second season so far. I still have to finish it. I'm not as quick as you guys. I'm like savoring this thing.
Also watch like 65 other TV shows.
This is true.
I think it's start to finish. I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't necessarily get bored. I found there were some interesting surprises in the middle. Just not as big as what you see at the beginning.
Yeah, I almost was more interested in Robin Wright's character this time.
Yeah,
she was really interesting because she's just so cold and calculated.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
that's
I almost feel like she's crazier than he is. That's why I felt like whenever they jump back to Frank, I was like, well, I'm kind of more interested in what his wife's doing.
She should start talking to the camera.
Yeah, that would be cool if she just like turned to the camera and like totally freak you out.
That would freak you out.
Oh my god.
She's so, like, I've never seen someone play someone so, I don't know, they're not empty inside. She's clearly not empty, but she just has this stare. Like, it's scary.
Imagine if they both turn to the camera in that one scene with that other person that I don't want to spoil for Kyle.
Oh my goodness.
That would have been amazing.
That would have. In related Netflix news, Orange is the New Black is coming out June 6th. And Netflix made the announcement at the very end of House of Cards, episode 13, which was pretty clever. They also included a trailer as well. It was only a 15-second preview, but it was the first footage / first anything from season 2. So that was exciting for fans. Even though I don't feel like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black shares too similar of an audience. I may be wrong, though.
I don't think so either.
Like, I know a few people who watch both shows, but they are very different, and I don't think they necessarily appeal to the same audience. Like, for example, Josh and Merrima, have you watched?
Nope, I haven't.
No, but I'm interested. I feel like there's a little, in a way, there's like a little bit of a cult of Netflix where there are people now that, because these original shows are doing so well, that will kind of watch anything they put out.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So I can see in that way that there would be a lot of crossover.
Right, because you kind of trust them now. You're like, oh, well, I enjoyed House of Cards, so maybe I'll enjoy.
Yeah, it's like everyone who really loves HBO, you know, even though the shows aren't similar, they'll kind of watch them all. That's sort of how I see Netflix now.
Yeah.
What's so funny is, Andrew, you got me into watching House of Cards. I got my brother into watching House of Cards with his wife this year, and they're now watching Orange is the New Black. So that's clearly what's happening is people are watching one and then watching the other because it's on.
Yeah.
And they're all great. You know, the quality is great.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to continue to snowball into another show and another show. And it, like Mimer said, it's going to be a cult thing for Netflix.
You know,
the cult sounds small, but it's not small. You know, it's a large base.
They do have a couple other shows. They've got, Lilyhammer, which is now in its second season. That stars Steven Van Zandt, who, like, nobody will know him unless you know Bruce Springsteen.
Well, and he was in The Sopranos.
Oh, right, that too.
Sopranos, he was.
Yeah, good point. And then Ricky Gervais has a show. Oh, what is it called? He plays like a... Let me try searching for his name. He plays like a... Oh, it's called Derek. This is also a Netflix original series. And I haven't watched it yet, but Netflix calls it a... heartwarming comedy drama series is a loyal English nursing home caretaker who sees only the good in everyone. So it's sort of like a feel-good show. And Derek, I think he has some sort of mental disability. Ricky Gervais's character. And then of course they have that Teen Wolf type show. Do you know what that is, Kyle?
Alphas or Omegas or something like that.
Yeah,
I know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, it's sort of like Teen Wolf, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So they've got a few, but none of them are as popular as House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. But
and
then
all
of course,
their shows are more popular than Hulu's original series.
Right. Or Amazon's.
Or yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course Netflix has that deal with Marvel to do those four original series, so
yep.
There's a lot more in the pipeline. In other TV news, the CW has renewed all of Kyle's favorite shows, Vampire Diaries, Original, Supernatural, Arrow, and Rain. I'm just kidding. You only watch Vampire Diaries, right?
And the originals.
Okay.
But I'm starting to watch Arrow, and I have Rain on the list, too.
So
you are ridiculous.
I mean, yeah.
So the Originals was a spinoff of Vampire Diaries, and it looks like it was a success if it's getting renewed.
Yeah, it's doing really, really well. The thing about the Originals, which is great, is that when they started the show, and you had no idea what was going on in the Vampire Diaries, you didn't need to. Like, it hooked on a lot of new people show.
So yeah, they renewed a five at once, which is kind of unusual. Over on ABC Family, they canceled the Pretty Little Liars spinoff, Ravenswood, after a single season, which was 10 episodes. So I see the top comment is F.U. ABC Family, as usual. Though this person said more than just F. So, yeah, some people were disappointed by this, but I guess the ratings weren't good enough. So, spinoffs. Today's lesson, spinoffs still hit or miss. And speaking of cancellations, Fox has canceled The X Factor, the Simon Cowell show. Yeah, there's just too many singing shows on TV.
Like, more than zero?
Yeah,
more than zero is too many.
That's true. But I mean, back in the day, they were interesting to watch, to me at least. No?
I watched the first couple episodes of, you know.
None of them can sing. It's super frustrating.
That's what made it so funny.
That's terrible. Yeah. It was funny for a while, but then you're like, I'm just making fun.
I mean, the guy who sang She Bang was the best.
Yeah, well, they've gotten away from featuring the crappy talent. I think they focus more on the good stuff now. Because that's what The Voice did so well. They focused only on the good stuff. people started watching The Voice.
The name.
Yeah, exactly. My mom loves The Voice, by the way.
Yeah, my parents love like these shows.
Yeah. So
which is probably the problem.
Right, exactly. It's going to be weird though for I mean Simon Cowell's been on American TV since like what, 2001 whenever American Idol started. So not that I'm going to be crying over the fact that Simon Cowell's no longer on TV, but
I'm sure he'll come up with something new.
Probably.
He needs another 100 million.
Well, he's going back to the UK X Factor, so he'll be spending a good amount of time over there, I guess. Because over there, the X Factor is wildly popular.
Yeah.
Popular.
They're making a freaking movie about one of the contestants on the X Factor. It's so popular.
In the in the UK?
Okay. No, it's coming out in the US. I've seen the trailer like a bunch of times, but it's about one of the contestants.
Oh, with James Corden?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that came out already.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it did, so I'm sure it came out there.
Yeah, so X Factor is really popular. It's still at some point, somewhere.
So let's talk some book news. This whole J.K. Rowling, Emma Watson thing, I'm just so over this. I don't even feel like talking about it.
Do we have to?
No, we don't have to. But
people just get mad at us in the comments anyway. So
I just want to mention that the full interview has come out between J.K. Rowling and Emma Watson. And
we were right.
Yep.
Well,
stuff was said.
Stuff was said.
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened was the full interview reveals more than what the Sunday Times originally led on in their article. So, of course, if you've been interested in that whole story, you've probably read it by now, but I'm just glad that's out of the way. But in more interesting J.K. Rowling news, the Cuckoo's Calling sequel, The Silkworm, has been announced. Of course, we got the title. We also got the release date, which is June. It's in mid-June. June 19th, and then I think June 24th everywhere. Like June 19th in the UK, and then June 24th in the US. And a synopsis was released. Did you guys all read Cuckoo's Calling?
No.
I'm halfway done still.
You haven't read it yet.
I'm almost.
We bought it at the same time in July last year.
So this synopsis is actually pretty interesting. I really liked the first one. Did you, Marima?
Yeah, I liked it. I just can't get excited about a crime novel. It's just never going to happen.
Just
but I enjoyed
thing.
It a lot. I'll read this one.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have that same level of enthusiasm, but I know you really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I do like crime novels and like whodunits in general. Not that I read that many, but I used to read like mystery novels, like when I was younger.
I read a lot of crime too. It just doesn't get me so excited about a book. I don't know what it is.
Well, I just love everything by J.K. Rowling, so I can't
Except
help but get excited.
Except the Casual Vacancy that you still haven't finished.
Nope, and I won't. I have too many other J.K. Rowling books to read now.
I mean, Casual Vacancy on the list of J.K. Rowling books is like at the very, very bottom.
Mm-hmm. So this one is 300...
I'm sorry, Rowling.
Yeah, I was debating correcting it,
I've
then
given
I thought...
up.
I'm correcting myself, damn it.
So the book is 384 pages compared to, Cuckoo's Calling, which was 464 for anybody who's keeping track. And the guy on the cover looks like Matt Smith, right? Am I the only person who thought that?
Oh yeah, he does.
The back of Matt Smith. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I don't
who
even
is
watch
that
Doctor
meant to
who.
Be?
Cormoran Strike.
No, it's not him. He's meant to be like huge.
Yeah.
That is not him.
Oh, true. All right. Well, then this must be the novelist at the center of the case.
I would say so, unless Cormoran Strike turned into like a skinny hipster in between books.
When novelist Owen Quinn goes missing, his wife calls in private detective Cormoran Strike. At first, Mrs. Quinn just thinks her husband has gone off by himself for a few days, as he has done before, and she wants Strike to find him and bring him home. But as Strike investigates, it becomes clear that there's more to Quinn's disappearance than his wife realizes. Dun, dun, dun. And it's described as a compulsively readable crime novel with twists at every turn. So I'm excited.
I'll read it.
I really am, though.
Try
Let's
to
be
read
real.
It
I'm going to have to review it. So.
That's why we love you. And one other piece of book news today. I thought we could touch on this briefly. The Percy Jackson books are getting new covers.
What?
One is being revealed. That's exactly what I said. One is being revealed every day this week on the official Facebook page of Percy Jackson. Isn't it too soon, though?
It's both too soon, and I feel like they're all too similar. Like, they have the exact same art style, basically. And they take the idea from the original cover, and they go, okay, let's see what it would look like from a different angle. And that's what they did. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Unlike the Harry Potter covers, where, like, they completely redid the art style and everything, these are very similar. And then a lot of comments about, like, the newest one say that they're redundant as well. So it's interesting to see that they're trying to change it up, but not really.
Yeah, the nice thing about the Harry Potter cover differences was the change in scene, whereas these do look like the same scene. You like them, Marima?
I think they're nice covers. Yeah, I haven't read Percy Jackson, but I think they're nice covers. Mm.
They're nice, but it just feels kind of gimmicky to release them again so soon.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's different because with Potter, like, fans would go and buy all of the books again so that they would have all the different covers, which I always found weird anyway. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like with Percy Jackson, they're still aiming it at the same market, but they're not expecting someone who already owns them to go and rebuy them. You know, they're just like, they're a bit brighter. They're a bit nicer. They look a little bit more grown up, I think, with the new font.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they look, you know, I like it, but they're not trying to change it hugely. It's just to maybe get in some new readers that wouldn't have picked up the first one because they look quite young.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I almost think these are, like Marmer said, just a little more grown up. And they're not just trying to get the same audience as before. They're just looking for a different audience this time.
Yeah,
that's what I assumed. I don't know. I don't have the inside scoop on Percy Jackson.
Well, like you said about the Potter covers, it's like they just make them knowing that everybody's going to go back and get them, even though I think younger audiences will still go and get them that haven't read them. But
right. This
feels like they were directly trying to find a new audience.
Yeah.
The first book was released March 2006, so it's been about 8 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah. They should have done this, though, maybe around, like, Sea of Monsters when the movie was coming out last year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised I didn't do, like, a movie tie-in cover.
I'm glad.
But maybe
the
author isn't into that.
Yeah.
The big question is, will the Fawnor Stars get a movie tie-in cover?
I doubt it.
I don't think so either.
I hope not.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even in paperback yet, so. John Green has proven that he doesn't need to do a movie tie-in to sell new copies of that book.
Yeah, he's done quite well.
Yeah. He's doing just fine. There's something else I was going to say about that, and now I forget. Hold on, do I remember? Nope, let's move on. So, we have a new quiz feature on Hypeable, and I just wanted to plug the latest one that I made all by myself. It is, how big of a Benedict Cumberbatch stalker are you? Has anybody played my quiz yet?
Yep. I got 7 out of 10.
I got 8 out of 10.
Oh, I want to take it now. Wait, I'm taking it now. Wait, Josh, how did you get 8?
I have no idea. I'm a really good guesser.
I'm seeing a lot of people got a perfect score, so a lot of people are stalkers. Though, I see a 5 out of 10. That's the lowest I saw.
There was like 3 I think I guessed on and I nailed, so but I was thinking back from my college days of guessing.
Well, so we try to make these quizzes appeal to as many people as possible. Like, we don't want it to be too hard for a general audience. And I woke up to this email this morning from this girl who wrote in and basically said it should have been harder. Like, she's like a really hardcore Benedict stalker, apparently, because she's like, you should have included questions about things like his favorite dessert. And then she names his favorite dessert, the model of the motorcycle that he owns, the poems he knows by heart, and other things that only hardcore stalker level fans would know. I'm like, well, you know.
Calling the police.
Yeah, exactly.
I got 6 out of 10.
Oh, really? Yay.
How did I beat you?
I don't know things about celebrities.
And then she's trying to represent the Cumber Collective, which apparently, even though Benedict has said Cumber Bitches, like he's endorsed the Cumber Bitches name, I guess they're trying to change their name to Cumber Collective.
Well Benedict Cumberbatch didn't like it. He didn't like that his fans were calling themselves Cumber Bitches.
Oh.
So because he didn't like it, and like the rest of the fan was like, yeah, it's a pretty dumb name. They're like, yeah, let's make it Cumber Collective.
Yeah,
I like that.
I like Cumber Bitches.
He was on the Graham Norton TV show, the UK show.
Right.
And he basically said, you know, they're the Cumber Bitches, but he's like, we're starting to try to move over to the Cumber Collective. So I think that he was probably okay with the first one. I don't know. He may have not been okay. It seems like from Kyle's perspective, he wasn't. But I know that he said he wanted to use Cumber Collective from now on.
So note to Marima, we're going to have to start doing quizzes like this because this one's been doing pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah. More stalkery quizzes.
Yeah, like if you want to know if you're a stalker or
I'll
not.
Do Tom
I'll do Zac Efron.
Tom Hiddleston's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea.
Yep.
I like that you can see the ones you miss now. That seems to be a feature.
Yes.
That's
helpful. Yes, and hopefully we're going to get the correct answers displayed. Like if you get one wrong, hopefully it'll show
the incorrect
answer. And while we're plugging new hypeable features, we do have a new mobile site. We're having a bit of a rough launch, let's say, but it's getting there. And if you go to Hypeable, right now it's only iOS. It'll be on Android. That one may take a little while longer, but if you have iOS or you have a Kindle Fire or there's one other that I'm forgetting right now. But check it out. Go to Hypeable.com on your mobile device, iOS, Kindle Fire. And you can see a new design.
Windows? You're talking about Windows?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's
yeah. So check it out and enjoy the new mobile design. It's much more fluid. It's much prettier. So definitely check it out. There's a couple bugs right now that we're aware of.
And it looks gorgeous on the iPad. Just saying.
Yeah, it really does. And it's really great for... swiping between articles. Like it's just very mobile friendly, so you play around with it, you'll see what I mean. And it's also got links to podcasts, which our previous mobile site did not. If you go into the drop down menu, you'll find links to some of our podcasts there. And so there's a little plug.
Are we gonna do recommendations ever again?
No.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
do you have something to recommend?
Too stressful.
I didn't think about it.
What? I've managed to get out of it so far.
Well, people miss them. I was just curious.
Well, we could start it up again next week. I just forgot. I don't think anybody's got something in the...
No, I don't have anything this week either. I was just curious.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. So looking at the comments here on the last episode, Natalie said there are actually people who don't like The Fault in Our Stars, and I'm one of them. I'm sorry to people who love it.
I
think she's talking about the book. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder why she didn't like the book, though. She didn't explain that. Gary wrote in, said, to all the people saying that J.K. Rowling should stick to her original story and isn't allowed to rethink things over time, when writing the books, J.K. originally intended to spare Fred, Tonks, and Lupin, and to kill off Ron and Mr. Weasley instead. Thus, in the original story, there's no heroine. I guess is that what he's referring to? Because Ron is dead. J.K.'s literary evolution saved Ron's life, and now it's time. Now it's given him marriage difficulties. That seems a fair trade to me.
That's good.
Yeah, and then there's a whole little fight that broke out in the comments there, so you can read the whole thing if you want. Thank you to Lalita, who reviewed us on the Australian iTunes.
Woohoo! Thanks, yes. I read it. That was lovely.
Also known as Marima.
Joan,
yep, all my pseudonyms.
Joan wrote in about Divergent. She said, when people say Theo James is not 4, exactly what are they referring to? Is it because they don't fit the description that they have in their heads, their interpretation of the character? Probably both. because we all have our own subjective interpretation of what the characters look like and how they should be portrayed. So I don't quite completely get it. We've barely seen him in action as Four anyway, and he actually fits a more considerate amount of general description of the character than is in the actual text. So what exactly is the judgment based on? Straight up personal opinion? And Kyle responded to this one. He said that Theo James looks a bit older, which is true. And Joan agrees with you, I see. So, but didn't Shailene, I think she said in an interview that they aged Four up a year or two?
They definitely aged Four up to match his appearance. And that's why I don't like. He just looks too old for me.
I have to say, I think I would have preferred a younger Four. But
I just don't think he can act. I've seen no evidence that he can act so far.
He can act. He can play dead really well from Downton Abbey.
What a nice
All
review.
He's done in this is kind of be shirtless and sort of be brooding.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, they haven't really promoted. I mean, yeah, I don't know. There's a new clip I have to write up today. Maybe that will unveil more with Four. But yeah, it's crazy. It's a month away now. Is anybody going to a midnight screening?
No.
Hell no.
Josh,
I'm too old for this.
No Divergent midnight screening for you?
No, thank you.
Do we decide for Catching Fire like we're all way too old for this?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was just okay, but wait a second. Josh, I have a serious question. Have you read the Divergent books?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, are you interested in this book or movie?
I'm interested, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not, like, excited.
I'm not, like, blown away.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Is that because it appeals to, like, a young female audience?
I think so. I think they're... As I'm 28, in case people don't know, so I'm a little bit older than some of the other writers on Hyperwool. So I think that at my age, I've started to not be as excited about some of these younger movies based on books. And it's kind of a bummer sometimes. I almost feel like I'm missing out on something.
Yeah.
But other times where I look at more like Oscar-related films and stuff, makes me feel better that I've emerged as like a different kind of viewer, you know what I mean? And I think that happens to the majority of people who grow up.
Yeah, in fairness though, like they're definitely trying to promote Divergent to a young female audience, so
yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, so you
and
should
I'm not
be...
interested.
Yeah, you're different though. I mean, I the marketing okay. doesn't even particularly connect with me. The one thing that I do like is how
you're not young or female.
Well, no, but just my point is that, like, sometimes I think I am, but like the one message that I really like that they're promoting, and we've talked about this before, is the one about being different, like it's okay to be different or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've been touting, so I like that
one. That way,
because it's a simple message that a lot of people can understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the slogan's like "Dare to be different" or something.
They've got the right people working on this on the promotion.
Yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
So. I hope it's good for the fans that like Divergent.
I do too. I never like to see things fail. It doesn't feel good when something just flops.
Except Vampire Academy, that felt good. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Send your hate comments to at Andrew.
All right, well, I think that is Hype episode 24. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Feel free to leave a comment in the article announcing this episode to sound off on what we had to discuss today. And see everybody next week for episode, or in 2 weeks for episode 25. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Tarek Kyle.
And I'm Marima White.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Guys.